And welcome back into GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, this is Inside the Numbers. We've got Mike Bernard from OTM Sports with us as always. Mike, let's just keep moving right on through the games. Pitt, 2-2 at number 13 Central Florida, 3-0. Pitt's got to travel down to Orlando to face a pretty good Central Florida team. One thing about Central Florida, and I know a lot's been made of them claiming the national championship. Hey, the NCAA recognizes it, so that's good enough for me. Because if there are schools out there that recognize championships from their local newspaper, listen, if the NCAA does not recognize, but they claim it, and Alabama's one of them. They're not the only one, but Alabama's one of them. So, you know, I have no problem with Central Florida being the national champion. They were they won one of the polls, or one of the computer systems that is helps determine the playoffs. So in my mind, they're national champions. And one thing about them, they're willing to play Power 5 schools anytime, anywhere. They, you know, last year we know that they had a game with Georgia Tech that was canceled. I have no doubt they would have beaten Tech last year. This year they had North Carolina canceled because of Hurricane Florence. You know, I have no doubt in my mind they would have beaten North Carolina this year. And this is just another chance to show that they belong, that they can play with the Power 5 conferences. And, frankly, I think the ACC is probably, from a reputation standpoint, probably lucky that those two games have gotten canceled over the last couple of years. But Pitt's not going to be able to get out of that one. They're going to have to play this one.
Yeah, good luck for the ACC and bad luck for the Knights. Having those two games canceled, I respect them for scheduling Power 5 teams. This year they had two ACC teams on the schedule. Last season they had two ACC teams and a Big Ten school. And of course they won all three of those. One was canceled. They'll be happy to play SEC and Big 12 teams, but so far only Big Ten and ACC schools are willing to play them.
Yeah, the SEC schools, I'll tell you, again, you and I have argued and debated this off air ad nauseum. You know, I think the SEC, you know, I think that they talk about how big and bad they are, and, oh, we beat each other up and this, that, and the other. Well, you know, play the same number of conference games that the other Power 5 conferences play. If you don't want to do that, fine. But play a Central Florida, you know, play an Akron. Don't play Western Carolina. You know, don't bring in a 1AA school, Auburn playing Alabama State, you know, and don't do that.
Coach, I agree with that, and so does Saban.
Yeah, he
and
does.
And a lot of other coaches. Yeah. But here's the other thing. You see what happened to the Big Ten when they started doing what Alabama, Auburn, and LSU does? Mm-hmm. Starting the season, Alabama goes out and for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They go out and play a major blue blood power, and they've won all of them. Mm-hmm. Auburn beats Washington. Look, I give them a break. If they're going to do that, I would rather see that and then have to eat watching a 1AA opponent. But I agree with you. But you can't dismiss the fact that these SEC teams, LSU goes plays Oregon, Auburn plays Washington, many others, that they have to get credit for that instead of just getting beat up about the 1AA schools.
I can get that. I just, again, I, you know, being on the underdog side a lot of my coaching career and having to go play those games, you know, that's a sore spot for me. I'll just say this. But anyway, back to this game. You know, again, Pitt has gotten better under Pat Narduzzi, but they've really and beat Clemson their national championship year, but has never really been able to get over the top. And speaking of non-conference games, you know, they're not, you know, if you're a non-conference school playing Pitt, things kind of work out in your favor, don't they?
Yeah, they do, especially against the point spread. The Panthers just 7-19-1 against the spread, their last 27 versus non-ACC teams. And it seems a bit counterintuitive, but the under is 21-5-1 in Central Florida's last 27 games. They go at a warp speed. They put up a lot of points. But they averaged 48 points per game in 2017 and 50 a game thus far this year. But remember, the over-under totals are always inflated, giving value to the under.
Well, with this game, I like the Knights, the Golden Knights. I like them to take care of business and get them a very reputable win against a Power 5 conference team. But I can hear it now. Well, yeah, that was a Power 5 school, but Pitt's not very good. I can hear that. I can hear that now. All right, moving on. 3:30 CBS game, the SEC marquee game. And it's, to me, when you look at these two teams, you know, it's really not a marquee game. You've got Tennessee coming in at 2-2, number 2 Georgia at 4-0. Tennessee's big wins have come over UTEP and East Tennessee State, and East Tennessee State wasn't even playing football 5 years ago. But their two games they played against anyone, West Virginia and Florida, they were both blowout losses, and they really could have been worse. Georgia's toughest test last week in Columbia, they won by 14, but they played with no discipline. They were very sloppy. And that, if they don't get that fixed this week, and I think Kirby will, but if they play with the same concentration and effort and focus that they did in Columbia, this thing could be a close game because Tennessee's going to come in as hyped up as they can be.
Well, they may be hyped up, but Vegas doesn't buy into that hype. Coach, you and I have been watching football for many decades. And this rivalry, this is by far the biggest point spread in the history of this series. The biggest point spread I could find on our database going back 30 years was in 2014. Georgia was favored by 19. And even though they were favored by 19, they only won the game by 3. Coach, this line opened Georgia minus 32.5. It's now around 31 or 31.5. So they're favored by 30-plus points. And I don't think the final margin will be single digits this time.
Well, let's just go back to last year. 41-0, Georgia beats Tennessee in Knoxville. Georgia has scored 31 or more points on the Vols each of their last six meetings. Now, the Vols defense, they have a huge hole to dig out of. That's one of the reasons I believe Jeremy Pruitt was able to get the head coaching job at Tennessee. Outside of Mike Leach, all the people they were talking to were defensive coaches. And after the athletic director was fired for talking to Mike Leach, all the defensive coaches were the only ones that were considered for that head coaching job. And I think they got the right guy for the job because Jeremy Pruitt knows defense. But the problem is he doesn't have the players. And, again, my question is, and not just against Georgia tomorrow, but my question is the rest of the year, can they stop anyone from scoring?
Well, Coach, it's not just Jeremy Pruitt. Let's look at – we mentioned Chip Kelly that plays Friday night. Scott Frost, we've talked about often. I don't care how great of a coach you are and what great philosophy you have. If you come in there with the wrong type players or not talented enough players, you're going to need time. And Jeremy Pruitt's certainly going to need time with that Tennessee team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He's got a huge rebuilding effort up there, and it just doesn't look like things are going to get any better anytime soon.
No, and when I take a look at the numbers, again, the point spread's enormous, 31 points as of today. The last four meetings in Athens have gone over the total. The underdog has covered five of the last six in the series, and the underdog's getting 30-plus points here. If I had to make a play here, Coach, I'd hold my nose and take the points and play Tennessee plus the 30.
Number 10, Auburn hosts Southern Miss. That's going to be on the SEC Network, a 4 p.m. Eastern kick at 3 p.m. local time there in Auburn. Now, these two teams haven't played since 2008, and the Tigers won that game 27-13. Of course, they most always play in Auburn. It's been a long, long time since Auburn went to Hattiesburg. And when I say long, long time, I'm talking about 50 years ago. But now this, I mean, don't really call it a rivalry, but this matchup back in the 80s and 90s had some real knockdown, dragout names like Brett Favre was playing for Southern Miss. And Southern Miss, they used to beat Auburn. They used to beat Florida State. They used to beat Alabama. But this is not the same Southern Miss, is it?
No, it's not. And when Bauer left, they had some tough times, and then they had some occasional good years. But when he was the man at the helm, they had a lot of solid years.
They did, and, of course, you have to go back to Jim Carmody. He started that program on the rise. Curly Hallman came in and kept building on that. And then when he left and went to LSU, as you said, Jeff Bauer came in. And we say that Southern Miss is not the same Southern Miss. You know, they aren't. But they have gotten better, especially since that Ellis Johnson 0-12 year. They actually went to a bowl game last year.
They did, and they returned only 9 starters from that team from 2017. But they're 2-1, but their wins were over Rice and Jackson State. They lost at home to La Monroe. Auburn, they beat Arkansas 34-3. They covered. They won by 31. But, Coach, the offensive stat lines were very concerning for Auburn.
Oh, Arkansas outgained Auburn 290 to about 225, 230, something like that. And Auburn plus 2 in turnovers, and then had a touchdown call back because of a block in the back off of an interception. All year long, this Auburn team has not been sharp at all. Defense has pretty much carried them. Had Washington been able to do anything in the red zone in the opening game, Auburn would have lost that game. Again, I think Auburn's got enough just pure talent, and that defense is strong enough to carry them through a win this week. But later on in the year, when Auburn starts playing in the SEC schedule, you know, if you don't score some points offensively and you keep ended up and you end up turning the ball over, and they don't turn the ball back over to you, and you don't have those plus numbers on the turnover side, guess what? You're going to end up losing some games.
That's right. And in this particular game, they opened as a 31-point favorite. They're now 27. And since the defense is so good, the total is only 53, so that's not a high total. When I look at numbers in the game, Auburn, they averaged only 2.5 yards per rush in the win over Arkansas. They should have run for much more than that over an Arkansas defense. Again, they did win, they did cover, but they're just not clicking on offense. Seems like they don't really start clicking on offense till late October. Point spread trends, Auburn is 1-6-1 ATS, their last 8 non-conference outings. Major trend on the under here. The under is 7-1, Auburn's last 8 games, and 22 of the Tigers' last 30 home games stayed under.
All right, you are listening to Inside the Numbers on the Morning Blitz on GameDaySportsRadio.com. We'll take a break. We'll be right back to go over more games with Mike Bernard.